Greetings and welcome back to another ongoing series of Shirim and Daf Yomi. My name is Yitzchak Shalom. We're now on Masachet Bava Kama, Daf Chaf Gimel Amud Bet, near the bottom of the Amud with the fourth Mishnah in the second Perek, defining when an animal is Tam and when it is Muad for those things for which Tam and Muad apply, such as Karen. Ezu Tam Vezu Muad. Muad Kol She'idu Bo Shloshei Amim. This is the first opinion. It's Rabbi Yehuda, says that there has to be testimony about 3 days of goring. And Tam is when it's had 3 days without goring. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. Rameir Omer Muad She'idu Bo Shlosha Pamim. Rameir says that there has to be testimony about 3 acts of goring, meaning even if they happened over the course of 2 or 1 day. Tam is Kol Shu Hanatino Kot Mashishin Bo Veino Nogeach. It literally means that the kids are teasing it or playing with it, but we'll see even further that it means that the children are inciting it and it still doesn't gore. Okay. My Tam Rabbi Yehuda, what's Rabbi Yehuda's reason for saying 3 days? So we have Machlok Rabbi and Rava, which actually has a practical implication. Amar Baye Tmol. If you look at the first Pasuk, it says Mitmol Shilshom. Now, Tmol Shilshom is a biblical idiom which means since ever. It shows up in Yehoshua Gimel, and it shows up in many, many places. It shows up in the context of Ari Miklat, Rotzeach B'Shogeg, Kilo Sonehu Lo Mitmol Shilshom. But the way that we're learning it is here as follows. Tmol, meaning at mol, yesterday, is chad. Mitmol, therefore, is trey, which means 2 days. Shilshom, therefore, becomes from shalosh, 3 days, which means that there was testimony of it goring today, yesterday, and the day before, right, then veloishmer balav, and then the owner doesn't watch it, atan negich orvit, is telling you that on the fourth time, he's chayiv, which means 3 times, 3 days, goring is still a tam, but then the master has to watch him, and the fourth time is a muad. That is Abaye. Rav Amar Tmol Mitmol Chad. He says Mitmol is one thing, 1 day. Shilshom is 2 days. Veloishmenu Ha'idnan. If he doesn't watch him now, Chayav, which means he's Chayav already on the third time. Now. That's Machlok Rabbi and Rava. Now, Rameyer Maitam, also, what's Rameyer's reason for saying that even 3 acts in 1 day render him chayiv? Muad Detanya, Amar Rameyer, as Rameyer said as follows. Richek Nigichotav Chayav, Kirev Nigichotav Lokol Shekein. Imagine this. If his goring happens with less frequency every 24 hours, he's chayiv. So if his goring happens more frequently, 3 times in a day, certainly should be chayiv. That was his response. So then Amrulay, the response to Rav Meir was, Zavatochiach. Now, just a quick preface. A woman who sees Dam, this is Din Torah now, a woman who sees Dam during the days which are referred to as Yemei Nida, has a Din of Nida. However, she sees it during the 11 days between Nida and Nida, which are called Yemei Ziva, then if she sees Dam 1 day, if she sees one Re'iyah of Dam, that's called Shemeret Yom Keneged Yom. She has to keep the next day as a purely clean day, go to the mikvah, and she's done. If she sees for 2 days, then she Shemeret Yom Keneged Yom, has to have one clean day, goes to the mikvah, and she's done. During that day, and then she's done. However, she sees 3 days in a row, then she's called a Zava Gdola, and then she needs Shiva Nakim. That's, of course, the practice that all of our women practice, is to regard themselves as Zava Gdola anytime they see Dam. Now, Zava Tochiach, and this is their proof to him, because after all, if a woman sees Dam 3-4 times during the day, that's still 1 day. So he says, Shirichaka Riyoteha Tmeya, Kirva Riyoteha Tmehora. So you see that even if she had a lot in close proximity of time, it's still only one Riyah. She's not at Zava Gedola, but if she has them spaced over 3 days, then she is. So Amar Lahan, so her mayor answered back, said, Harehu Omer Zotor Tiyatu Matoba Zovo. We're talking about a Zav. Now a Zav is different, because a Zav is dependent on how many Re'iot he has, how many times he has Ziva, the gonorrheic emission. Right? And if he has several Re'iot, for each Re'iai, the third Re'iai becomes a Zav. Now, Vizot, indicating that the rules of Zov are different, are unique, and not the same as a Zava. Talaka tuvet hazav b'riyot v'tazava b'yamim. He's saying the text went out of its way to say this one is this way, zot tiyah, and this one is this way. So it means, meaning that the whole issue of the zava, which counterintuitively could see dam many times during the day, separate riyot, and still only a zavag tana, but if she sees it's based over 3 days, she's a zavag dola. That's gzerat hakatuv. That's the way the Torah presented it. Right? Now, mimai dahai is, parenthetically, and I didn't give this much attention on the page because it's really not our issue, but parenthetically, mimai dahai vizot lemute zavim riyot. How do I know if vizot is there to tell me that a zava is not about riyot but about yamim? So, ema lemute zav miyamim, maybe it's the opposite. Maybe it's to say that a zav is only about riyot and not about yamim, which means, by the way, critically, if a zav has one long riyah over several days, then that counts as separate riyot. Because at the very end of the Parsha of Ziva, at the end of Parsha Metzorah, it compares Zachar and Nekeva. Maki Zachar and Nekeva. Manakeva b'yamim, af Zachar b'yamim. So therefore, just like a Nekeva has the issue of days, so a male has the issue of days. But now what that means is that you have one exclusion in which Zav and Zav are separated, and one inclusion in which they're tied together. So why did you choose to go the way you went? V'lakish Nekeva l'Zachar, why don't you then use that last pasuk to compare Nekeva to Zohar, Mazacha b'riyot af Nekeva b'riyot, and make it that a woman, as she has three riyot, is tmeya? The answer is Hamin Rachman of Zot, because the Torah in the second pasuk on the page, the first one on this Amud, excluded. So, Maraita. So, why did you choose to use that first pasuk to be Mimayet riyot, and the second pasuk to be Marbe Yamim? The answer is mistaber. It makes sense. Kai b'riyot mayit b'riyot, because after all, that pasuk v'zot tia tumato v'zovo describes the ri'iyah. So it says it makes sense. If it's talking about a ri'iyah, it's excluding others from ri'iyah. Kai b'riyot mayit b'yamim. It wouldn't be excluding the issue of days, which is not directly tied in with ri'iyot. All right, so that's a side point. Tana Rabbanan. There's a braita that expands on our Mishnah. Ezu mu'ad kol she'idu bo shloshe amim. It's exactly like Rabbi Yehuda. V'tam, what's that? Shua tinokom shashim ve'ova eno nogeach. That's like Rabbi Meir. So becoming a muad like Rabbi Yehuda, and becoming a tam like Rabbi Meir, divrei Rabbi Yossi, and that's Rabbi Yossi's words. Rabbi Shimon Omer, he disagrees about the first step. Muad kol she'idu bo shalosh pamim. He agrees with Rabbi Meir on becoming a muad. V'omru shloshemim ela chazor bovad. He says the issue of 3 days is only for not being a tam for 3 days, which is exactly like Rabbi Yehuda becoming a tam after 3 days of not goring, which is exactly Rabbi Yehuda's shita, which means that basically it's a mix and match from our Mishnah. All right, now Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Rav Ada Bar Ava, halacha Rabbi Yehuda b'muad, v'halacha shari Rabbi Yossi modelo, chagomei Rabbi Tam shari Rabbi Yossi modelo. Essentially, everywhere Rabbi Yossi agreed with an opinion our Mishnah, that becomes the halacha. So becoming a muad is like Rabbi Yehuda, 3 days. Becoming a tam is like Rabbi Meir, when the kids can provoke the animal and it doesn't gore. So I'm the Rav of Nachman. So Rav, the Talmud, turned to his Rebbe Rav Nachman and said, "V'leim amar, why don't you say halacha Rabbi Meir b'muad, shor Rabbi Shimon modelo, halacha Rabbi Yehuda b'tam shor Rabbi Shimon modelo?" In other words, all you've got here is Rabbi Meir versus Rabbi Yehuda in our Mishnah, and a braita with Rabbi Yosef and Rabbi Shimon picking positions, but essentially each position has two proponents. So why'd you go the way you did? I hold a Rabbi Yossi. Why? Rabbi Yossi Nimukol Imo, the famous sugya and gittin that we saw a little while ago in the sixth parak that goes through the different ma'alot of the Chachamim. Rabbi Yossi Nimukol Imo, and indeed among his colleagues, the later Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva, which is Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Meir, and Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Yossi's opinion always carries the day. Now, Ibayalu, question was asked. Shloshi Yom Diktani, Liyude Torah, Liyude Gavra. The 3 days that Rabbi Yehuda mentions, that is now the halacha, does that mean 3 days of testifying about the ox? Meaning you have witnesses who come and testify on Monday, then on Tuesday, and on Wednesday? Or does it mean there have to be 3 testimonies about the man? The man has to, the owner has to be brought into court on 3 days. So, l'may nafkamina, what's the difference? The answer is, da atutlata kite saadi pechad yoma. If 3 groups of witnesses came about 3 consecutive days of goring, but they all arrived in the Beit Din on the same day to testify. So, iamart liyudei Torah, if they're coming to testify about the ox, then miyayid, then he becomes a muad as a result because they've got Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Iamart liyudei gavra, but if it's testimony against the owner, then lo miyayid, because it's all 1 day of testimony. So, memama hashtahuda kumasadubi. My. So that's our question. But his statement is, now do I have testimony, so that's 1 testimony, 1 day of testimony, that's 1 step. So what's the answer? My toshma ina shor nasa muad ad she'idu bo b'fnei baal b'fnei beitin. We have a braita that says that a shor can only become muad when it's the testimony takes place in front of beitin, in front of the owner. If the owner didn't show up, or they testified in front of the owner but not in front of a beitin, okay, that's the rule. Now, here's the part we care about for our purposes. Let's say two guys came and said about the first act. Another two about the second act. Another two about the third act. This is three separate testimonies. But vehin edut achat le hazama. As far as the din of hazama, they're all considered one edut, and we'll see how that plays out. If the first kat was proven to be a conspiring, lying group, where two other witnesses came and said, how can you testify that his ox gored on that day? You were with us somewhere else at the time. Harikan shte eduyot. Now all you've got left is two eduyot. Vuhu patur. Therefore, he's patur because it's still a short time. Patur means from full mezek. Vehem pturim. The other, those two witnesses are patur because they alone would not have caused him any damage. Right? Nimtzeit kat shnia zomemet. If the second group also turned out to be zomemet, again, harekan edut achat. All we've got left is one edut. Vehu patur vehem pturim. He's patur from paying because his shor is still tam, and they're patur because their edut alone would not have caused him to become chayav. So in other words, it's edut achat because each piece is it's one piece of a puzzle, and they're all mutually interdependent. Watch this. Nimtzeit kach lishit zomemet. If the third group turns out zomemet, and then all three, but now the third one is, kulan chayavin, all three groups are chayav to pay the difference between half nezek and full nezek. And that's the pasuk about Edim Zomim. Now, that's the Braita. One explanation here is that, one piece to explain though, just to clarify, is that the case had to be where we had proper testimony about this ox goring, and the Nizak claims there's a Shor Muad, the owner claims it's a Shor Muad, Shor Tam, and then these three witnesses come to testify about the fact that it was Muad before. And now what's happened is that we found that they're conspiring. They have conspired to make him pay the second half of the Nezek, and that's what they'd have to pay him. And that's one way to construct it. Now, Iyamartliyu de Torah Shapir. I understand, if I take the position, that the testimony is essentially against the ox. Then the reason that they're patur until that the last group is chayav, when the last group comes omim, they all become chayav, makes sense. Iyamartliyu de Gavra. But if you think they're coming to testify against the man, the first group can say, "Anan mihave yadinan debata shloshi yomim atu hanu miadilu." We didn't know that somebody else was going to come and testify against him later, so therefore we weren't really part of the conspiracy. And therefore, when all three turned out to be zomim, the first group could say we shouldn't have to pay. So Rav Ashi said as follows: Amrita l'shmata kamed Rav Kahana. I told Rav Kahana this entire piece. The question, the Braita, and the proof from the Braita that supports the idea that the testimony is about the ox, not about the owner. V'yamarli, here's what he told me back. L'yode Torah minecha, it doesn't work for the other side either. Because v'leim rohanach batroi, the later witnesses could say, anan menaya din nechol dekai bei din lasude b'torah katu, how did we know that the other people standing on the beit din were coming to testify about this ox? Yes, we were lying, but we weren't trying to conspire to make him pay nezek shalom because we were testifying about one act. We didn't know the other people were there. We were just coming to make him pay half nezek, which is what he have to pay anyways. So the answer there is the Ramuzi, that they were winking to each other, hinting to each other, indicating that they're all coming to testify about the ox. Or Rashi Amar, Keshebal Ritzufim, if they came one after the other, so it seems like they really conspired. Ravina Amar, B'makirin Balashor V'en Makirin Et Ashor. We're talking about a case where they know the owner of the ox, but they don't know which ox it is, right? And now, if that's the case, Elahecha Miadile. So if that's the case, how could they testify about him and be Miyayit if they don't know which ox it is? The answer is to Amri Torah, Nagchana Yitlach B'Vakrach. They come and tell the guy, you've got a crazy ox, a goring ox in your flock, in your cat, in your herd. Yibarlach L'Ntura, the Kulei B'Vakra. You have to watch all of them. Alright, so it is possible, but still, that Braita seems to support the idea that La'yude Torah, not La'yude Gavra. Alright, Yibayaluhu. Hameshasa Kalbo Shechavero B'Chavero, Mahu. What if you take another person's dog and sick him on a third person? Mishasavadai Potter says the provoker, the inciter, is certainly Potter because it's groma. He didn't do anything with his hands. Baal Kelev Mai, what about the owner of the dog? Mi Amrina Matsi Amarle Ana Mai Avdin Vinalai. The owner of the dog could say, I didn't do anything. Odil Amrina Le, maybe we say to him, Kevin de Adat Bachalbach, the Mishasi Le Mishtasi, how, since you knew that your dog is incitable, you shouldn't have kept him around. Shouldn't you have tied him up or done something else with him? I'm Rabbi Zeira Toshma. So let's see if we could solve this. For Tom, what's the ruling of Tom that we said was the halacha? That if the kids provoke him and play with him and he doesn't gore. And remember, I mentioned in the Mishnah that we'll see that this really means they weren't just playing with him. They indeed were provoking him, teasing him or something like that, and he still doesn't gore. What's the implication? Hanogeach chayav. If he does gore, he is chayav, even though he was provoked by others. So you see that the owner of the animal is chayav when somebody else comes along and provokes him and does damage to a third party. So Amar Abaye, miktan inagach chayav. Doesn't say that in the Mishnah. Doesn't say that if he does negicha is chayav. Tamahanagach la'avetam. Maybe it means that if they provoke him and he gores, he still has not removed the blemish of muad. Uvay negicha la'machayv. Maybe he's not chayav for that negicha. So let's see. Toshma shisabo takel shisabo nachash. This we saw earlier. If somebody sicked a dog or a snake on somebody, patur. Now we think patur means the guy who sicked him. Myla patur v'shasev chayev bal kelev. But we think that the owner of the animal is chayev. Lo ema patur af v'shasev. It means not only is the owner of the animal patur, even the one who sicked him is patur. All right. So far it seems that neither one of them is chayav. Amarava imtim seloma mishasa kabosha chaver b'chaver chayev. He says if you would take the position that if somebody sicks an animal on somebody else, he's chayev. Shisau hu ba'atzmo patur. If he sicked him and the dog ended up biting him himself, the guy who sicked him, the provoker turned the animal turned back on the provoker and bit him, then the owner of the dog is patur. My time, komashano v'acher v'shinabo patur. Because we had a few daf ago in the case with Rish Lakish, with the two cows, we'll see in a minute. Called Mashana Vacher Vishinabo Patur. Anybody who acts in a bizarre way, and that's here that he's inciting, and now the other one acts in a strange way also, he's Patur, because the setup was unusual. And this guy doing the sicking was set up, therefore if he gets bit, the owner of the animal is Patur. So I'm on the Papa the Rava. Itmar Mishpeh Rish Lakish Kavatich. So if Papa said to Rava, Rish Lakish's statement works as in the same vein and is supportive of yours. The Amar Rish Lakish, Shtei Part Rishut Arbim. Again, we had this earlier. You have two cows in Rishut Arbim. Achat Revutzav, Achat Malachat. One's lying down and one's walking. Uvatam Malachat Revutzav. The one walking kicked the one lying down. Ptura, it's Pater. Why? Because it's Regel. Revutzav Malachat, if the one lying down kicked the one that was walking, Chayevet. Right? So we say that what's the reason that the one walking, kicking the one lying down is patur, is because the one lying down, Rishut Arbim, was a shinui, and therefore kol hamashaneva v'acher v'shinabo patur. So Rava said to Rav Papa, Amar le ana b'ahi chiyuv mechayavna. In that case, I would say is chayav. Why? And unlike the case of Mishasa Tekelev, Damrin and Le, we say to the owner of the cow, Mi hilach reshuta l'seguye elai. Theoretically, it's almost as if the cow is saying, you have reshut to walk on me. Meaning, I'm lying down. Livute bileilach reshuta. You don't have reshut to kick me. And so therefore, if the animal would walk on him and trample and hurt him, then you'd say pater because mishane. But you wouldn't say that about him kicking him. Okay, we'll pause at this point, and we'll pick up with the next Mishnah, Mishnah Hay, in the next podcast. Everyone should have a wonderful day.